Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Many of us are very familiar with the Acts 2 story of Pentecost, because today is the day of Pentecost, the day the Spirit came visibly and with power. And Acts 2 is the traditional text that is chosen on this day of all days. And this is the day that that event happened. And it was quite spectacular. And a couple of things that made it spectacular was wind and flame. The third thing was the tongues, the speaking in tongues. But the first two, wind and flame, and I've tried to replicate that very, very slightly with a tiny little bit of flame here and a tiny little bit over there, and then there's this one. And anytime anyone came close to any one of these places, I was, don't knock that over. Oh, be careful. Don't get on fire. Be careful. And that's why I brought the fire extinguisher, because we want to be very careful about getting close to the flame. We don't want to get too close, and we don't want the flame to get too close to us. And for those who have been watching the news in the last week, or those who have ever been to Hawaii, you know, oh, there is spectacular flame occurring and spewing out of the center of the earth, and it's amazing to watch on television. And even some tourists are thinking, this is amazing, this is gorgeous. And yet this is very, very scary. This kind of flame, you don't want to get anywhere near it. Well, you can't get near it because it will consume you. And if you think about wind and flame and the prairies, that's just a bad mix altogether. None of the farmers here want to even think about that scenario. And for those of you who have a soft spot in your heart for Kyle, other than all the speeding tickets you've gotten going through there, Kyle Motel, poof, went up in flames. And just this morning I saw there was a big fire in Brandon, Manitoba, and it consumed the homes, a one apartment building, homes of many people. Fire is a negative thing many, many times, most often in our minds, and especially when you combine that with wind. Now, you don't have to talk to us about wind, do you? Aren't we the pros about wind? The only people who talk about wind here are the people who are not from here. Am I right? We're so used to it. Wind? You call that wind? That's not wind. Well, my husband and I came from Lethbridge, and we thought we had the corner on the market because Lethbridge is very, very windy. And yet the Weather Channel thinks Swift Current is windier than Lethbridge. I don't know. I won't say anything about Portage in Maine. But there's wind and there's flame and there is a bad result. And yet this is not a day of bad results. This is a day of celebration. And it's the epitome of the new life and the vigor and the excitement that comes into the church on Pentecost, because this is the day that we celebrate the Spirit of God descending on humanity. And the flame did not consume them. We're afraid of these flames because it will burn us up, it will harm us, but the flame that rested on the head of each of those apostles did not consume them, did not harm them, didn't singe a hair on their heads. And the wind was actually no wind at all. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. I heard that sound just the other night. Any of you hear that sound? On Wednesday night, I believe it was. Helen Friesen and I were comparing horror stories about what happened that night. And that wind caused a very loud crash on our apartment. And I thought, what was that? The whole apartment shook. And it was our big bad barbecue blowing over. But it was shocking, it was startling, it was loud, and it jolted us out of a sound sleep. That's what wind can do. And yet this wind that brought the Pentecost was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And that's why I resisted the desire to put up a big fan here somewhere and have wind blowing constantly. Because it wasn't wind at all, it was just the sound, and it brought people from the city. What is going on here? And it was inside of this building, and it was an amazing event. Why am I not getting a hallelujah here? The Spirit came on Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that was very good.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's exciting, it's invigorating. And it gives us the power to do things we had never experienced. And we want to race out of the church every Sunday morning and share this good news with our neighbors. Oh, less excitement there. The rushing out part, yeah, there were a few who were ready to do that. Sometimes these big events actually cause us more disappointment than encouragement. And that's the sad thing, because it's a wonderful event. It helps, it invigorates, it gives us life, and yet we look at ourselves, our reality. And good for us, we are going to be realistic. I've been hammering it into these people's heads about a month now. Be real, be real. Take your spirituality and make it real. And so we take this Pentecost story and we want to make it real, and we look around and maybe we just look inside of ourselves and we see the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel spoke about. Ezekiel chapter 37. Contrary to what some people here believe, the Old Testament is full of encouragement. The Old Testament can be relied on. You don't have to stick to the New Testament only. Ezekiel here has a wonderful story of another coming of the Spirit. When we are disappointed with ourselves, when we are disappointed with God, in the non-results of Pentecost, in our church, in our lives, in our own experiences, we have to remember this Bible, this text that we're reading, is not completely and solely about us or about people. We have to take ourselves out of that center and put God there again. God is at the center. And this story, these stories, old and new, are about God. And God recognizes that we may not have that experience of Pentecost every time. And then we get down on ourselves and say, what am I doing wrong? I'm not praying enough. I have to work harder. I have to have more faith. And we get all tied up. And then we put this pressure on our friends and neighbors. Why aren't you praying more? Why don't you believe more? Why are you expressing doubt lying here in the hospital? Why do you even ask, where is God? Why? And we have no compassion for the reality of people's lived experiences, but God has compassion. We do not have to sing together with Frank Sinatra, who says, not sing, I won't sing Frank Sinatra, dream the impossible dream. You know that song? And it seems inspiring, and I thought, oh, that's wonderful, I'll play it on YouTube, bring the screen down, and everyone will be inspired. And then I listened to it carefully and I realized those words are all about, okay, I can be stoic, I can do this, I can dream the impossible dream, I can do those things that nobody can do, just hunker down. That's what the song is all about. I can do this, I can do this. And as long as we are still saying that, then we still have that idol of I, of myself, me, 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 in the center. And he, even here at Pentecost, we want to recreate something that maybe isn't there, that we can't see, that we haven't experienced. And rather than saying, oh, I'm a little disappointed with God now, rather than being true the way Job was true and real, we want to pretend or put a pretense on those around us. And yet here is the story. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, the prophet says, and brought me to this valley of dry bones. And in the valley of dry bones, he said, walk around. Experience this fully. Walk around. All the way around, he had to walk around all. And there were many, many bones. Stories in Hebrew are usually short on detail and adjectives. Stories in the Old Testament tend to just cut to the bone, pardon the pun. But the stories here, this story and this vision of Ezekiel, he said there were many, many bones. And I walked around that valley of dry bones. And they were very dry. Does that story ring true for any of us today? Very dry. That amazing story of the Pentecost in Acts 2 is far, far away, historical. It doesn't ring true. It doesn't connect. The strange, the impossible, the unexpected are just that. Strange, something weird, something impossible. These fishermen talking in tongues, what? Come on. None of us have ever done that. Maybe one or two lucky ones. No, it's not going to happen. I don't expect it to happen. But I'll keep coming. I'll keep pretending. And that's how our bones get drier and drier. And drying out bones take a very long time. And these bones were very dry. And God said, can these bones live? And this prophet was so super smart. Not at all like what I would say. I know what my reaction would be. Somebody asked me a question, well, I have the answer. That's how all teachers are. Ask a question, we've got the answer. Whether or not we know it's true, we have an answer. This prophet said, only you know. So wise. Only God knows. We don't know what God is longing to do here. And even those of us who say, don't worry, we're going to survive. We're going to become big again someday. We're going to be strong. We'll be dominant. Maybe not. Let's take a phrase from this prophet and say, only you know, God. God is the one who knows. Are these bones going to live? Only you know. And then, after having that kind of wisdom and that good response, then this poor guy gets a task that goes right into the ridiculous book. Did it strike any of you? Maybe you were concentrating on something else. You didn't hear that one tiny little phrase where the Lord said to this prophet, prophesy to these bones. Are you kidding me? Prophesy to these bones. Speak. Talk to these bones. Not like stir them up, add a little water, put some dirt. You know, like even Jesus' miracles. Jesus bent down and he was working in the dust and he made some mud and he put it on the blind man's eyes, right? Come on, give me something to work with. Nope, nothing. Speak to these dry bones. Speak. Does that ring any bells to you? Well, the speech of Pentecost sort of reverberates, but also there's another story, and it's back in Numbers chapter 20, where Moses and Aaron were dealing with a group of angry people who were thirsty. They wanted water, and God said, speak to this rock. speak to this rock. And so Aaron and Moses gathered those folks around this rock, and what did Moses do? Did Moses speak? He did not speak, unfortunately, and to his chagrin, I am sure. And it's just in that one moment, we miss that one opportunity, and Moses did not speak to a rock. Who would speak to a rock unless it's your pet rock? You're not going to speak to a rock. This is ridiculous. This is unexpected, unprecedented, strange, and impossible. Speak to this rock and water will gush out. God's mercy was more than Moses' lack of faith in that moment. And so water did gush out. But God said to Moses, "You didn't trust in my holiness. You didn't trust in this moment of impossible, unexpected, unprecedented, and very strange. This prophet did. This prophet said, okay, here's a bunch of dry bones, very dry, very many. Prophesy, I will prophesy. And he prophesied, and there was noise, just like Pentecost, noise. I don't know what noise bones make when they start coming together. It's never happened to me yet. But these bones were rattling, and they came together, and sinew and muscle and flesh, and they stood up. Just the way God had said. And then God said, call the wind. Another Pentecost illusion. Call the wind from the four winds, from the four corners of the earth, shall we say. Call, and the breath will enter them, and they will be living beings. In this text, God continually says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I will, I will, I will. Verse 14. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. I will. I have spoken and I will act. In the New Testament, when Jesus was teaching, he often told stories about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is often like a landowner or some sort of rich person who hands over his belongings or the care of his estate to those working there. And he goes on a far journey, long time gone, and those workers are meant to be faithful in the working. And they're faithful. They are faithful until the landowner returns and is going to take his own to retrieve what belonged to him. Not the people necessarily, but take back what he had given them to work with. Imagine ourselves in that picture and in this picture of God's Spirit. Are we ready to hand the reins of responsibility, even responsibility for God's own church, back to God? Are we ready and willing to say, this belongs to God? God is God. I am the Lord. And relieve ourselves of the weighty burden of producing something, of being so responsible. Many of you are oldest children in your families. The oldest sibling always feels so responsible. Parents feel so responsible. Certain jobs make you feel so responsible to make sure things run well, don't break down. What if we released the responsibility of God's church back to God's hands and really believed this story where God says, I will. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will act. Have you lost hope? Have you lost interest? Or have you lost your way? God is speaking and says, I will. And then you will know that I am the Lord.